Good morning, everyone. And before we open his word, let's go back to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we know because of your word that you are near, that you are present with us right here and right now, and that you are also with every single person, Lord, in the entire world, that you are beyond the world, that you are everywhere, O God. But I pray, as we have just sung, Lord, that we would know in our hearts, not just our minds, that you are with us, that we would feel your presence with us, O God. Because being with you changes everything. Your reality, your presence, your love, your kindness, your mercy, your power, they are all that we need, O God. You are all that we need. I thank you, God, that you've given us your word, that we would know you. So I pray this morning that you would make yourself known to us. If there are things, God, that are keeping us from knowing you, would you please destroy them? Take them away, O Lord God. Whether it's our own sin, whether it's distraction or physical pain or anything, O Lord God, that we would be in your presence, rejoice in your presence now, O God, and know you for who you truly are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning's passage, we're going to look at prayer. Prayer is amazing. It's so simple, right? You just talk to God. Because as we've just prayed, he's everywhere and he's always with us. And he's infinite, so he's never busy because he's listening to other prayers, or he's never distracted. He's never disinterested. He loves us. He always wants to hear from us. Prayer's hard. We're not used to verbally having a one-way conversation. We're not used to speaking to someone and not, through our ears, hearing them speak back to us. It's amazing that something is so simple on one hand can be really hard and challenging in another. I know for myself, I get easily distracted. And so I, oftentimes my prayers start off, earnestly praying for someone, and then I'm thinking about what's for dinner or something, I also know, for me, that my prayers get very the same over and over again, that I tend to pray in the same way, which is wonderful. It's not bad, but I can fall into these habits of not really thinking so much about what I'm praying. Vast majority of my prayers are for people who are hurting, right? And I suspect for many of you, it's someone is sick, someone is unwell, someone's going through a hard time, and you pray for them. And that's such a joy, such an honor, right? But I find in those situations, I'm often praying what I want to happen to them, what I want the outcome to be. And that tends to be focused on the physical, here and now, if that makes sense. So if someone is sick, I'm praying for them to get well. And that's wonderful. But I'm challenged when I read, especially in a number of Paul's letters, as we will this morning, the way Paul prays for people. It's not that he doesn't pray for people's circumstances to change, but he's often praying for other things, for God to be doing other things, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so this morning, I hope that we have a chance here to see another aspect of prayer. Not to change how we, not to reject how we pray, but may God open our eyes to something even more in our prayers and more ways for us to be praying for one another, which is just one of the greatest joys and honors that we have. Prayer. So turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and we will look at verses just 11 and 12, two verses this morning. There we go. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Now, just a reminder of what Paul has been saying here. He's been talking about the return of Jesus Christ and heaven and judgment and God's justice for those who do not believe, as we looked at last week, and the joy, the glory of heaven, of eternity spent with Jesus. And so bringing that to mind, that Jesus is coming again and all goodness will be fulfilled and every wrong will be made right, and then we'll spend eternity with Jesus, he says in verse 11, "To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is God's word. So in this here, this is one of those passages that, for myself as a left-brain person, it feels so comfortable for me, because it's got all these wonderful words that tell us what each piece means. It's a long sentence, as Paul often writes, and it's just the style. It's a long sentence, but we can break it down, and it's very logical, okay? He starts off by saying, to this end. So he's looking back at what he's been talking about. To the end that we're looking forward to Jesus coming again in heaven. To that end, with that in mind, because I'm thinking about that for you, here's what I do. We always pray for you. We always pray. Paul says this repeatedly. Right, in the book of Philippians, pray unceasingly, right? That we are to be people who pray. That we spend time in prayer, set aside time to have, our prayer time of talking and conversing and being with the Lord. That we set aside time to pray together, one-on-one, in small groups, collectively as we gather together on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whenever we gather, that we pray. For many, a tradition of praying before meals, Maybe praying at bedtime, praying when you first wake up in the morning. But then there's also this praying unceasingly, right? And if you've heard that passage before, you get a little challenged by that. Well, what does that look like, right? I mean, it looks like, you know, when you're driving around in your car, eyes opened, of course. When you're driving around in your car, that you can talk to God. When you're walking around, when you're in a meeting, when you're talking to your neighbor, when you're talking to your children, and that in your mind you can be praying short prayer, quick prayer, long prayer, deep prayer, that it can be a lifestyle of continual talking to the Lord. May God give you wisdom, but I would suggest a lot of that would be silent prayer. If you're just walking around the streets praying out loud, there may be consequences. It's okay. It might be good. I mean, who knows? It might be good. So I know it's an obvious statement, but I just really want to call it out because Paul says it. We always pray. And we pray for you. Now, he goes in and he says, there's two things that we pray for you. Here are the two things that we pray. Now, again, I would not suggest that this is all that Paul ever prays for them. But there's two things he wants to tell them about, right? And again, remember, they're new Christians. They're facing persecution. They're having really hard times. And they've been so faithful. They're learning as new Christians to love each other so much that Paul says, you know, don't change what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing more and more. And you see, this is where my temptation would be to say, God, please stop the persecution. And it's very possible that Paul prayed that. It's very possible. But that's not what he calls out. And I just find that so interesting. I can't, it just keeps coming back to me. Okay, Paul's doing something that I wouldn't naturally pray for here. I want to analyze my prayer, and I just want to think about this at least. First thing, Paul prays that God would make us or make the Thessalonians worthy of his calling them to heaven, verse 11. Now, he's already used that word worthy earlier on in this chapter. And that's a tricky one. I do not think he is saying here, God, may they get rid of sin in their own lives and may they be good people, good enough so that they deserve to go to heaven. No. No. Paul knows and writes continuously according to the entirety of Scripture that there is no way we can be good enough. We can't clean ourselves up enough. We can't get rid of sin and stop sin within us enough so that God looks at us and says, yeah, you're holy. You're holy. No. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we all need a Savior who is holy, who is worthy. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross in our place, so that all who believe in him are saved, are washed, are cleansed, are made worthy, not by our actions, but by the work of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus. What he's praying is that as we believe in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes and begins to work in us, helping us to know God, helping us to live more according to His beautiful will and calling in our lives, that we would become more and more like Jesus. That we would grow into that which Jesus has made us. Maybe an analogy is like someone who... So, this is a mixed analogy, but Mary, Queen of Scots, okay, who was one of, probably the most well-known queen or ruler of Scotland, she became queen at 1 week old. She didn't know much about being queen then, didn't have a lot of experience, but she was queen. But she had to, over time, grow into that role, into becoming queen. Right? So technically, she was declared queen. But then over her lifetime, and you know, she didn't do a great job, I gotta say, but that's beside the point. All right. She had to learn to grow into that role. Right? We are declared children of God when we believe in Jesus, instantaneously. Our names are written in the book of life. The Holy Spirit enters our heart. We are children of God at that time. We are born again at that time. And then we begin this, we don't begin, God begins this process of what we call sanctifying us, making us more and more like Jesus, growing into our inheritance. And that's what Paul is praying for here. It says, as I think about Jesus coming again and going to heaven, I pray that you would become more and more like Jesus. I pray that you would grow more and more holy as every day goes by. That sin would become less of an issue in your life. And that your love would go away from the things that are hurtful to us and other people. And our love would grow more and more to the things of God and to God Himself. That's what I'm praying for. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution. Oh, may you grow closer to Jesus. That's powerful. Second thing he prays for is that God would enable, fulfill, create all the good works that He's called us to do. Again, in verse 11, and may God fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power. So as we are believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works in us, and over time, more and more, He will give us these desires to do good things. And it takes us time, and even as we get older in our faith, sometimes we think something is good, but it's not good, or you know, it gets all kind of mixed up sometimes, and we need God's wisdom, and we need each other to help each other know what's good to do in a situation. But He's saying, when God gives you something good to do and puts it on your heart, I'm praying He makes it come to be. I'm praying that He fulfills that. So as you see something good that you want to do, or you comes to your heart something good and God lays something on your heart, I'm praying that God strengthens you, enables you, empowers you to have that all happen. Now, it's not just good works He calls these, that these are works of, He says, faith. Every work of faith that you say, You step out in faith with either I'm going to, at work this week, I'm gonna tell so-and-so about Jesus. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm just gonna do that. I'm terrified to do that. I feel like God wants me to do that. I'm gonna take a step of faith and do that. Or there's someone I know who needs needs some food or needs money and I don't have very much, but I feel like God wants me to help them out. Oh my goodness, I'm terrified. I'm gonna take a step of faith and do this. And Paul's praying, may God make all those wonderful things come true and come to be and happen. All those things by faith. By what means? This is part of what I love about Paul's prayer here. I hope that all the good things that God lays on your heart come to be by you working really hard, by you overcoming your fears, by you putting aside your selfishness or laziness or no. Not by pulling up your own bootstraps. May these all be accomplished by, last three words of verse 11, by his power. By the power of Almighty God who created the universe, every star, every grain of sand and blade of grass, who created us and loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in our place, that he's with us always. It is by his power that Paul prays all these will be accomplished. That takes a load off. So that's Paul's prayer. He always prays. Prays two things. God would make us worthy, that we would grow in Jesus more and more, and that all the good works that God lays on our hearts to do would happen. Why? Why is this his prayer? Now we go into verse 12. And he starts with telling us the why. Why these are the things he's praying for. What does he hope to do from these prayers? Why does he hope that we would grow in Jesus? Why does he hope all these good works that God puts on our hearts would happen? They're not just ends in of themselves. They have a purpose. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. I pray all these things will happen, that these two things will be made real and true in your life so that Jesus gets the glory. And glory is wonderful. Now, I know it's all twisted for us, as all things are when we get sin involved. And if I'm trying to seek my own glory, well, that's a very negative thing, right? That's a really bad thing. That's selfish. It's wrong. It's unjust. It's just. And we all know. We all feel that, right? When someone's trying to put themselves first and make themselves seem so awesome and so wonderful, it's just it sends a shiver down your spine. You know. It's not good. But the reason it's not good is because we aren't ultimately deserving of glory. Jesus is. It would be wrong for Jesus to say, no, don't glorify me. That would be terrible. Because he truly is worthy. God is the only one who is worthy of all glory. To glorify Jesus is to acknowledge with our thoughts, our mouths, our bodies, our hearts, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is powerful, that he is love, right? to think about, and just one aspect, right? God is love. To think about that and to say with our mouths or sing with our lungs, God is love. To affirm that truth, to meditate on that more and more so that we understand more and more the height and depth and width of God's love. It is good for Jesus to be glorified. And Paul's saying, when by the power of God, we grow in our faith closer and more like Jesus, and when the good works that he puts on our heart are accomplished by him, Jesus is glorified. And then, I know I just said that it's, and it is, wrong when we seek to glorify ourselves. But something amazing happens in our relationship with Jesus. As we grow closer to him and he works through us to do good things, he gets glorified. He is glorified. His name is praised. And it continues on, may the Lord Jesus, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. That we also in him are glorified, are shown for what is good. Not that we get the glory, it rebounds back to Jesus, right? This is because we're created in the image of God. Being in the image of God means in some ways we're mirrors, right? We reflect back to the world who God is. That people would see in us more and more as Paul's prayer is answered, first prayer is answered particularly, that they would see more and more of God. Not that we are becoming God, but we're reflecting God because we're made in his image. And so in this intimate relationship that we have with Jesus when we're believers, as he gets glory, it builds for us glory, not in our own name, but in him also, in this intimate relationship. It's like the passage that we read at the end last week of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that our, where Paul says, our present sufferings are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs all the suffering we're going through. It's doing something, it's working something good, so that in heaven we will all rejoice with Jesus at the ways in which he made us more like him in our lifetimes, and the ways in which he accomplished good works through us. And we'll be able to say with perfect humility and perfect recognition of Jesus, oh, you should, these good works that I did, they were amazing. Not me, but Jesus. And it won't be at all self-aggrandizing. We'll just be celebrating with Jesus all the goodness that he brought about by his power. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. And then finally, how's this all going to happen? Verse 12 closes with, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. All by God's grace. All by his grace. Grace is unearned, undeserved gift. It's God just saying, I love you so much. Here's your gift. Salvation. Growing closer to Jesus. Good works. Bringing glory to my son. It's all a gift for you. It's all a gift. Doesn't come with any strings attached. doesn't come to me saying, you better use this properly or else I'm going to be pretty mad. No. It's all God's gift because he loves us so. So what do we do? In freedom, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that the troubles we are in would end. The pain we are suffering would be healed. That the needs we have would be provided for. Yes. And let's pray for one another that we would grow closer and deeper in Jesus, that our love for him would grow more and more, and that God would lead us into good works to do this week in his name, by his power, that Jesus would be glorified in us, in our community, in our nation, and in the world. Let's pray. Thank you for your love, Lord God. I do pray that you would draw us deeper and deeper in love with you, Lord, closer and closer to you. I pray that we would be made more holy this week, O God, by your power. And I pray, God, you would put in each and every one of our hearts and minds good works to do this week in your name, not by our own power, but by your power. And that you would make them happen, God, so that Jesus gets all the glory. Would you do this, Lord, in your grace and mercy? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.